The following podcast contains advertising. To access an ad-free version of the Lawfare podcast, become a material supporter of Lawfare at patreon.com/lawfare. That's patreon.com/lawfare. Also, check out Lawfare's other podcast offerings, Rational Security, Chatter, Lawfare No Bull, and The Aftermath.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Lawfare Podcast Shorts, an update with Roger Parloff on the Oath Keepers trial. So, Roger Parloff, senior editor of Lawfare, you have been in court for the entire Oath Keepers trial so far, which has consisted of opening arguments and the beginning of the government's case in chief. We talked about the opening arguments the other day, but what evidence has the government presented so far?
We've had four witnesses so far. An FBI agent, the main case agent, Michael Palian, a former Oath Keeper, very briefly, only for about 3 months, named John Zimmerman, a very, very strange witness whose name currently is Abdullah Rashid. He's had six names in the past, since 2007. Another Oath Keeper who has been there a longer time, a former Oath Keeper, Michael Adams.
What is the story that they have told so far? What did the FBI agent testify to, and what did these former Oath Keepers have to say?
Yeah. The FBI agent, he's the main guy, so he was introducing hundreds of digital signal chat texts and Facebook messages. It was very important evidence, and some videos. The rhetoric of the Oath Keepers is consistently over the top. If that were a crime, they'd be sunk. It begins election day, essentially, is election night. November 4th, really, in the early morning hours, is when they begin, Rhodes begins talking about, you know, we aren't going through this without a civil war, and beginning quoting George Washington, we need to conquer or die. He begins to I guess the other crucial evidence so far is a meeting held, a go-to meeting, that's like a Zoom meeting, on November 9th, 2020. And that's where he's talking about, we need to follow the example of a Serbian patriot. And he's eventually distributes to all the people a plan that was used in Serbia to overthrow Milosevic, I think. And that includes, as one of the steps, storming the parliament. The important thing in that, maybe the most important thing, is that he talks in there about these QRFs, these quick reaction forces that he's going to have, you know, across the river in Arlington. And to be fair, in November 9th, they're talking specifically about preparing for the Million MAGA March on 11-14, November 14. So we aren't quite there yet, but he's talking about how we need the weapons arsenal in Virginia in case Trump invokes the Insurrection Act. And then he sort of says the quiet part out loud. He says, now, really, the Insurrection Act is just legal cover for us. I mean, because we're going to do this whether Trump invokes it or not. We're not letting this Chinese communist puppet take over. So there was some pretty powerful stuff.
And was this all in the FBI agent's presentation of electronic material, or was this also the testimony of?
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The oath keepers who the government has put on.
No, this was all FBI agent. I mean, there were a couple people that were on that 11, that November 9th go-to meeting, and I can talk about them as well.
Yeah, so what is the government trying to put on with the Oath Keeper witnesses that they presented?
Yeah, the first guy was, frankly, to me, I don't know if it was a wash or not. I wasn't overwhelmed. I think he wasn't with the Oath Keepers very long. And what put him off, you know, a lot of people join the Oath Keepers because they want to help police and firefighters and first responders, you know, fight hurricanes or, you know, respond to hurricanes and things like this. At least, you know, this is what they say. Also, they are very concerned about Antifa and BLM. But anyway, what turned him off was that Rhodes, he went to the mega march November 14th. And that night, Rhodes got angry with people, but he was talking about having people dress up as what they view as targets for Antifa and BLM, which is, and I know this is strange, but people, very weak people, like the elderly, women pushing baby carriages, and the idea is that the Oath Keepers would dress up like such people and then, when attacked, turn on them and beat them. And this turned off this guy who, you know, wanted to fight hurricanes. And he was saying, tricking people into attacking so we can give them a beatdown is not why he got involved. Also, he said that the QRF on November 14th, the Million MAGA March, was not about combating Antifa. He said it was about being there in case Trump invoked the Insurrection Act. And that's a mixed message because the defendants seem to have mixed defenses. Some, Rhodes and Meigs, are saying, well, the QRFs were about, in case Trump invoked the Insurrection Act. The other defendants seem to be saying it was about combating Antifa. So that's all a little mushy.
And what about the Oath Keeper, the other Oath Keeper witnesses?
The other Oath Keeper, the last one, the two others were both Oath Keepers. The third was one of the weirdest witnesses I've ever seen. He was just in manner, very strange. His name was ostensibly Abdullah Rashid. But it developed that he was the tipster that gave them this tape. And of course, it doesn't really matter if he's a scummy guy because the tape is the tape. And no one's really saying it's not authentic. This is the November 9th go-to meeting tape. But it did develop that he had used all these names and he had been convicted of aggravated sexual assault of a child. And the defense is saying that he he turned it in, not because he was offended by what the government was saying, which was his story. I'm sorry, because he was offended by what the oath keepers were saying, which is what his story was, but rather because he wanted the government help to help give him a new identity so that he could, not have to register as a sex offender. But and then the last witness was pretty impressive, really. He was a longer time oath keeper, Michael Adams. And then he had left and then he came back again. He came back in summer of 2020 because, you know, he believed Antifa and the BLM rioting was endangering businessmen. And he also began to freak out in the November, December timeframe when Rhodes began to issue these actually open letters. They were public letters on the Oath Keeper website, but he called it unchained rhetoric. It was, you know, talking about the unhinged rhetoric, and it was along the lines that I've mentioned before, that, you know, there would be a bloody, bloody civil war, and, you know, Biden was a Chinese communist puppet, and they could never, ever tolerate leaving him in power.
We're going to leave it there. Roger Parloff, we will check in again with you next week. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.